Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Yes, we do. And it's the, oh man, I am very nervous for what's about to go down tonight.
We're going to kick things off with a preview of Clippers Lakers. By the time you're listening to this, it will be the morn of opening night. So we're going to talk about what we need to do that to win that one, as well as some things that could go wrong. We're going to look into some key matchups and stuff to watch for. And then it's Tuesday. Every single Tuesday, it's Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in their questions ahead of time. If you ever want a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, send that over to @LockedOnClips. We usually kind of take all the questions on Monday because we record a day early. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what you think. And then in Shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends, kind of floating around Clipperdome as well as the NBA in general, we got to talk the Kennard extension as well as a notable beat writer moving to the team across the hall. So before we get into all of that, Charles, why don't you tell these folks a little bit about diamonds?
I would love to talk about my third favorite subject to discuss on podcast, which is diamonds. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so we're back and we're going to lead things off with this Clippers versus Lakers opening night preview. Chuck, what are the lines saying? What are my degenerate gamblers out there saying about this one?
So per betonline.ag, shout out betonline.ag, the Clippers are 3-point underdogs.
Okay.
Which, you know, one possession, you know, if you're feeling feisty, go ahead and take the Clippers on that under. There is no Marcus Morris, which was confirmed by the team on Monday night. So that line might get maybe a half or point bigger. So, but I mean, man, no Marcus Morris. I think we could start off with that. Just, I mean, kind of expected, right? Like we kind of thought we'd be seeing Batum given there was no timetable given.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't really come as a surprise. It's pretty unclear what the timetable is for Morris. I'm hoping that we get something kind of firmed up for that. Cause as of right now, it's very unclear. And it's also just the sort of nebulous knee soreness.
And it's his right knee confirmed. So we know which knee it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know even how you put a timetable on knee soreness, but I hope that it's,
we've been down this road sooner before.
Rather. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that it's sooner rather than later.
So let's get into what we need to do to win. What do we need to do to win in this game? The first game under the Ty Lue reign.
We got to contest shots around the arc better. Opponents in the preseason shot their best 3-point percentage against us. Opposing teams averaged 49.5% from three when shooting against us. Okay. So why not at that rate? Why not chuck one up on, you know, every other possession? It's been stated recently that AD kind of wants to be taking more threes. He was so efficient from three in the preseason. It was ridiculous. I think he shot like 86% from three.
Jesus.
But so we need to kind of force guys out of those spots. If you get AD into sort of that longer mid range, sort of grind down those possessions, make them take some more time off the clock, kind of make them settle for worse shots. The Lakers did take the least amount of threes in the preseason, which is a little bit reassuring, but they shot the best. They averaged 50% as a team. So, those looks are really efficient. And if you, you know, you can contest those early on and guys aren't seeing shots go, you know, there's the mental effects of that, which will kind of slow them down. And if we can take away space from them, obviously it's going to make it a lot harder for them to play their, you know, sort of bruising interior offense.
So to kind of go off the interior offensive thing is that we got to keep hands in the passing lanes, whether that's through, you know, running the zone out of a timeout or something like that a little bit, just to throw the Lakers off their game, a small, you know, just a skosh. Like the low post passing when Gasol is on the court with the Lakers is borderline bewildering. He threw some amazing passes in the preseason. Everyone knows that Gasol is a good passer. And so when him and LeBron are on the court, we have to be good at anticipating the Lakers' cuts. Like, I mean, this is truly the hardest first matchup we could have. So, I mean, we're just going to have to keep our heads on the swivel. And I really hope we see the defensive identity of this team showing out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, just going off of that defensive identity, we got to continue to be strong in the interior.
Absolutely.
We were just outside the top 10 in blocks in the preseason, which, you know, it's just preseason and a lot of those minutes weren't from the starters, but still, it is reassuring. And then, you know, we've talked about the zone. I'm curious to see how that ends up playing out in this one. If they end up having to move away from that, or if it's going to be efficient in forcing them into, you know, less desirable shots. And we got to pick up the rebounding. We were the third worst team in the preseason in rebounding, and we were the fifth worst in offensive rebounds. And I bring that up because we have been told that offensive rebounding is going to be a priority for this team. So hopefully we see this trending up. This is going to be something definitely to keep an eye on through this game, and certainly through these first three matches, how we're able to, how we're able to recover after lost shots or not getting the shot we want and create more opportunities on the offensive end.
Yes. And now moving towards what could go wrong, this one is kind of a difficult one to break down because it feels like kind of a lot could go wrong. We got a whole new system. We're missing a starter. You know, we have a new center in the starting lineup. I'm going to be assuming Serge is going to be starting for this one. So, I mean, we're going to have to move the ball a lot, like just to get these guys in just rhythm for the long haul. You know, like this game, if we drop this game, yes, it would suck, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot given whole new system, game one, you know, like I just said, lack of 100% of the starters. But man, I just hope we can come out. If we start strong, I'm very happy with how this game will go, even if we lose. But if we come out and it's like super janky in the beginning and we get into this mode where we're kind of like not floundering, because I feel like that's an unfair term for a team that's still going to be learning a new system. But I think you know what I'm saying here, right? Like just that thing of like, I want to see the shape of what
we're going to definitely. And you know, I agree with you on the ball movement, but it's got to be efficient. We saw so many times passes thrown to, you know, empty airspace, guys not really sure where they're supposed to be. And in this game, like poor communication and turnovers are absolutely going to be the nail in the coffin. We turn the ball over 18% of the time in the preseason, which is, you know, we're just outside of the bottom five in terms of turnover percentage. We average like,
and that's a stat that might carry over to the regular season in the beginning, like turnover stuff. You're like, but we're still learning the system.
I think that that's absolutely correct, and it's going to be one of those things to watch, and hopefully we see that trending in a better direction. But we're averaging around 19 a game through the preseason. I would say if we want to get a win in this one, we're probably gonna have to keep that sub 15. So we'll see what happens, and obviously it depends on the other side too, you know. Another thing that could go wrong is that they'll just kill us in transition, right? If we're turning over the ball, they're going to punish us. They're going to go and try to get running in transition for easy buckets. We've seen them do it. They love to do it. So rebounding is going to be super essential. And, you know, both of these teams, in terms of pace through the preseason, you know, not fast, quote unquote, teams, but, you know, that looks different in transition, right? Because this is pace, you're just talking total possessions. You're not talking, you know, the speed of said possessions.
Literal, so. Yeah. And like the team's talked about wanting to push like pace and force are words that we've talked about. So that, I hope that truly manifests itself in this opening game.
So what matchup should we be taking a look at here?
I mean, Serge versus AD and kind of everyone versus AD, right? This is Serge. I mean, big first test for Serge, going to be guarding AD or whatever. You know, there's going to be so much switching, I'm assuming, and stuff like that. I got to assume, you know, I don't think they're going to start Gasol, and I don't think they'd start Trez at the five, you know what I'm saying, for the team across the hall. So it's going to be interesting just how the defense, how the 3-4-5 of PG, Kawhi, and Serge match up with whoever the Clippers put out there, or Lakers, excuse me.
Definitely. I think the five matchup is obviously going to be really exciting in this one. You know, the Lakers are a bigger team. They got a little bit smaller in the offseason, but I'm really, like, I think one of those things to watch for is going to be to see how do the Lakers cover up for Harrell defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know who they're going to throw out there with him. I'm really excited for the matchup of Zoo versus Montrez.
Oh, yeah. Zoo's going to feast.
Anytime Trez would be kind of cooking – and Zoo would come in. I mean, it's like kryptonite for him, man. He, like, yeah, you know, he has a difficult time with bigger dudes who are elite, you know, rim deterrents. It really, you know, kind of neutralizes his game. So another matchup I'm curious about is, man, has this tune-up been enough to tune Kawhi and PG up to the level of LeBron and AD? Both LeBron and AD averaged more minutes through the preseason, notably did miss, you know, a couple of games.
Yeah.
But, you know, and offensively, you know, Kawhi didn't break double digits. He didn't average, you know, he averaged 9 points a game.
Yeah.
PG was around 12. LeBron averaged just under 16, and AD was near 23. And part of that is some of the three-point shooting AD had, which is definitely an outlier. He's not going to shoot the ball that well from
three. And same with Kawhi. I think Kawhi's preseason stats are, like, kind of garbage usually. Like, last year they were horrible. I think he shot, like, 10% from three.
Yeah. Well, and that's going to be one of those things to take a look at too, is like, what is Kawhi's shot selection going to look like? He took the majority of his attempts in the preseason from three. I don't expect that to stay the same,
though
he was very efficient. He shot nearly 50% from three in the preseason, but I think that we're going to see him work his game more. And if we want to win this game, he needs to get to the foul line.
Yep. Him and PG.
We saw Paul George get to the line a lot more efficiently, but we're going to need it from both guys if we want to win this one or even keep it close.
What was to say? What's your prediction for this game? Where are we at right now?
Look, I'm pretty nervous. Looking at the Lakers through the preseason, and obviously it's just preseason. You don't want to read too much into it, but I would say an overarching thing is they just look a lot more tuned up and together. Obviously they're returning to a familiar system, a lot of familiar faces. So I don't know. I'm pretty nervous about this, but the thing is what we got to be focused on more than, you know, the win or loss and the, you know, how much we win or lose by. We need to be focused on, you know, what the team looks like and where we're headed. If those things that we talked about previously are trending up, then I'm fine with a loss. I do see us ultimately dropping this one, but let's hope to see, you know, the formula getting kind of put together. Like, let's start to hopefully see some of this foundation being laid, even in the absence of a starter.
100%. This is something that's just going around on Twitter right now. Do we think there's a chance that Serge and Zoo start? For some reason, people think this is a possibility.
No.
I don't know if we do that.
No, I don't think so.
Also, so prediction for me, man. My heart wants the Clippers to win and thinks that they'll win. But my brain,
of course,
given all the things that the Clippers are contending against, it seems like it might be a loss. I'm hoping it's close. Like you said, I hope those foundations are there. I hope the building blocks we start to see getting figured out and all that good stuff. But I think it might be a loss. I have no idea what scoring is going to look like, so I can't handicap it with a scoreline yet. But yeah, here's to a hard-fought game, you know? And let's not read too much into this. It's 1 out of 72. No matter what happens, let's keep our heads held high and hope that process works out. Coming up, we're going to be answering some Twitter Tuesday questions about Kawhi's extension, as well as some zombie-related stuff. But first, well, we've already talked about it a bit, but tell me more about betonline.ag.
All right. So I know that everybody out there is ready for some football. College football heads into bowl season, and there's some big matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust for betting, and that's betonline.ag. If you sign up today, it's a free account. If you sign up at betonline.ag and use that promo code locked on, that's all caps, you'll get your 50% welcome bonus. Will the Clippers be undervalued in total points this season? Who knows? Probably. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code locked on to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
All right. Welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Thanks for all the questions. We appreciate them. Biggest news of the day. People had questions about. So someone asked us, Kawhi said in the presser today, they asked about his contract situation. He said, I'm just focused on this season, not saying I'm going anywhere else or staying here. The best decision is to decline the player option, but that doesn't mean I'm leaving or staying. Pretty Kawhi answer for someone kind of asking something that's way down the future that he's probably not really worried about right now. But Clippers Nation asked, do you think Kawhi will decline his player and ask for a max contract or move on from the Clippers? I think he obviously is going to decline the player option because it makes the most financial sense for him. And I think he gets the max from the Clips. I have no reason why they wouldn't offer him as much money as they possibly could.
Yeah, totally. I mean, unless the Lakers manage to clear a bunch of cap space to try and make that happen. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I don't know if I doubt that is a realistic scenario
for sure.
But yeah, I think at least from what he said, you know, that he would want to stay close to his family. And you know, this is, you know, one of the two best places to do it. One of the two only places to do it. So I don't know. It's too early to speculate. I would see him staying. But it's always going to be dependent on what the experience like is this year.
100%.
I haven't seen enough to know if it's going to be a fun enough workplace for him to want to return or if it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be more conflicty and, wrought with disorder.
That's a good way to put it. Frescomatic on Twitter, great Twitter handle, asks, will the Clips have a slow start to the season? And if so, how long before they get their groove going? Well, right off the bat, the answer is probably yes, they're going to have a slow start to the season. And I've been thinking about this too, in terms of how many games I'm kind of looking for the groove to start. Man, I think it's going to be like 10 games.
Yeah.
For it to start. I think we'll be in it by 15, but like for it to really start manufacturing itself, I think it's going to be like 10 games.
I think that it's going to be dependent a little bit on Morris's return. It's also going to be super dependent on the health of the team. If we have guys in and out of the lineup, obviously it gets a lot harder to predict. I'd say around 16 games is where I'm going to kind of be looking to see if we're hitting a stride offensively and, you know, it's, we're getting a closer to a, you know, to a cohesive unit on the defensive end. And I can't predict the record yet until we, you know, see what this team looks like. But I think around that 16 game mark, assuming that we've had some time with everybody healthy, I think that we'll start to see, we'll start to kind of get that moment that's sort of like, oh,
the vapors.
Sure. So yeah, and I think that there will be highlights. Obviously, like I don't think we're gonna go 0-16 through this.
No, not at all.
I do think that I do think there's going to be some growing pains, and it's going to be exacerbated by, you know, the availability of the players or lack thereof.
100%. Tony Amaro asks, Coach Lou wants to run the triangle. Is a triangle offense worth implementing in the current NBA? If so, will the team have enough time to grasp the system this season? So this whole triangle thing is kind of getting blown out of proportion, I think, because Ty Lue said they're adding like 2 or 3 sets from the triangle. Yeah. They're not like, we're not transitioning to a full triangle offense. It's really to benefit Kawhi for the most part. And I think in that sense, it absolutely is worth implementing in the current NBA. For Kawhi Leonard, it makes all the sense in the world to have a couple triangle sets for the best mid-range player in the league. But a full transition, no, I don't want that to happen, obviously. That just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like one of those things to be used sparingly. Like even I think that
when it's working, we'll probably see it run a bunch in a row.
Tall dudes. Yeah, with a bunch of tall dudes who are comfortable in the mid range and can get their own shot off the dribble. It's interesting, but it's like zone defense or anything, right? Like you want to pepper it in. If it becomes like a thing, quote unquote, I mean, it's just really easy to game plan around. And we've seen this team not defend that well from three. So I could see us, like, if that trend continued, we need to completely abandon the triangle because it's not worth it to get, a mid range shot.
Three. Yeah.
Giving up a bunch of threes on the other end.
Yeah, which is what's nice is that it's only a couple sets. It's like it's not like we're doomed or tethered to this triangle offense. And there's going to be so many tinkerings throughout the year. I'm excited to see the parts of it that we do take over. Graydon Square with a legacy question. They said, I've been a Clipper fan since I was 16 years old. This year I will be 40. I've come to the resignation that if the Clippers never win a chip in my lifetime, I'm okay with it and would still remain a fan. My question is, would you still be a fan if you knew we'd never win one?
Are you kidding? Absolutely. Yeah. No question.
How about this? I'm never assuming we win one.
Yeah, man. Like at this point, also, I don't know what else to do. I'm invested in. Yes, absolutely. This is a great question. I love this. But I mean, look, man, I live in LA. This is going to be my team. If I were to ever leave, which I don't see happening, it would remain my team. And I like winning a championship isn't everything. And I think as long as we continue to see exciting basketball, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Dolphins fan. So there has never, we wasted one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So, just personally, I'm used to seeing things kind of just go down the tubes. But no, absolutely. I'd still be a fan. I think if anyone says that they wouldn't be a fan, if the Clippers would never win a championship, I would like to ask them why they started becoming a Clippers fan.
Maybe it's time to exit.
Yeah, because historically, I'm not really sure what you're going off there. But shout out Graydon Square. I hope your 40th year on Earth is
we love pain over here at Locked On Clippers.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Locked On Pain, baby. And then finally from at Stoop Kid, which player do you think would hide a zombie bite from the rest of the team? So if he was still on the team, it's 110% Landry Shamet.
Immediately. Yes.
It's 100% Landry Shamet. But now I think it would be, man, I hate to say it. I think it might be PG.
Interesting. Interesting.
Who are you going with?
Okay. All right. I'm going to say, I weirdly think it would be Pat Bev. I think he would have a bite and he'd be like, nah, it's no problem. I'm good. It's like, dude, your arm is falling off. Nah, it's always like that.
And he'd be like, I can still play defense. And then he would like
Chicago.
Oh yeah. I hope Ty Lue adopts some of the kid from Chicago meme. That about wraps up for Twitter Tuesday. Thank you for all these questions. Graydon Square, thank you for making us think about, finality of life in terms of how championships work. That's always welcome. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Luke Kennard extension, how we feel about it, as well as the Clippers losing yet another beat writer. But first, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar, helping keep the lights on over here. The new improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than before. There's 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. The 6 new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which if you're like me and you have a bunch of fake teeth, that can be an issue sometimes. Built Bar is great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. Right now you get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all cap letters, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which if you're new to the show, it's just kind of where we wrap up all the loose ends. We got to kick things off with Luke Kennard, who was offered an extension by the Clippers today. How are we feeling about this?
So it's the same deal as Mook. It's 4 for 64. Twice as much money as Lou Williams, which a bunch of people pointed out might be disrespectful. I'm not sure I see it like that. So we talked about this before we started recording, and I said I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this. And I don't mean that in the sense that I don't think Luke Kennard wasn't deserving of this contract. Look, the numbers are great, right? Like, when he was healthy, the efficiency is absurd. I think he's literally, of players who took six or more threes who were under the age of 25, I think he shot the third best percentage in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So obviously, on paper, this stuff is great. It seems like he's kind of blossoming into wanting to be more of a, like, specifically a point guard, which, if his distribution works out and he's this good of a spot-up shooter, there's not a lot of better young pieces you can add. The dude's 24. Like, I don't know what – shooting costs a lot of money is the other thing that I think people aren't understanding about the NBA right now. Like, if a dude shoots 40% from three on over six attempts a game, what the hell else are you supposed to pay him than, like, $14 million a year, right? Like, that's crazy efficient. But we just – the wrap my head around a part is – apparently the Clippers believe in his knees, and the sports science department is getting some shout outs for that. So we're going to have to wait and see, but I mean, I feel good about it. I'm happy we have some of these pieces locked up for post maybe Kawhi, but Lucas Hahn made a really good point that things kind of got to go well this year because we'd essentially be pitching to Kawhi that we're running it back with pretty much the exact same cast next season.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think Kennard is interesting in that it gives us some flexibility. He would be, you know, health provided, which is a factor in any contract. It's not like actually, it's exclusive to this. But, you know, that $16 million a year, provided he, you know, continues to play well, that's a very movable piece, you know, that has, you know, a decent amount of, you know, salary to
Cap's
make.
Cap's going to go a, up like that. To helps make a us. Move.
And you know, you also can't forget about the, you know, second round picks that we picked up in this trade. Four second round picks plus Luke Kennard for $16 million a year. I mean, like, I'm not mad at it. I think that I initially balked at the price just because it is the same as Luke.
Yeah.
But he's so young. He's so efficient. He does a little bit of everything and he just does it well. It's weird to have offered this before we've seen him in a regular season game.
Yes.
For me, but 100%. He's a young piece. And the thing is, for a team that's trending older, I think that it was a great idea to lock him down so we didn't have to get into a bigger bidding thing, in next offseason when teams will have more cap available.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he can, I hope the knees are fine. Like, really, my only issue is the knees. I know he can play basketball. Every Detroit Pistons fan who is rational on Twitter was like, this is a great contract. Like, this is awesome. He should have been locked. Like, I saw someone tweet, this is more of an indictment on the Pistons than it is on the Clippers, which I thought was really funny. Of like, why didn't the Pistons lock it? Like, why did they do this? Which I think adds it to, like, kind of rack my head around it. But hey, man, if it pays off, we have a dude who's going to be, you know, he's 24. Like, if he plays at an average level for this contract, like, for what his contract is, it's a great signing. Like, if he's above 35% from three, if he can stay healthy, if the distribution gets going better, like, I'm not mad at it. But it still remains to be seen. And I have a feeling Kawhi might like him if we locked him up to this contract too. That's based on truly nothing, but seems like they maybe run the stuff by Kawhi. Now we got to talk about the Clippers just keep getting beat writers taken away from their reporting. Dan Wieke was moved back over to the Lakers. He was on the Clippers last season from the LA Times, and now he's back with the Lakers. Jovan Buha has now moved to the Lakers beat. So there's four beat writers for the Clippers now. It's like Tomer, Farbod, Miriam, and Greif. And that is truly it, which is a shame for a team that is projected to be the second best team in the league or the West. This kind of sucks, right?
Yeah, totally. It's, you know, it's just going to be kind of a wider trend. The team after last season is going to be pretty much written off this year, which, you know, I guess makes sense in some regards. Like, we are, for all intents and purposes, a small market team.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is sad to lose, you know, a great writer and someone who offered a lot of insight into the organization. But, you know, it is what it is. And
yeah.
I think that, I don't know, maybe back to the shadows is the best thing for the Clippers this year. and that's okay too.
Yeah. And it's one of these things where I don't think this was a choice. This wasn't Jovan being like, oh, I'm going to go over to the Lakers. Like, that doesn't make
sense.
Or
it might have been. Who knows? I mean, it's a bigger beat. It's a lot more exposure.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too.
I can't say.
Like, Clippers fans on Twitter were, like, some of them were, like, really mad. Like, they're like, this is a Trez move. This is a snake move. And I want to point something out that is kind of exclusive to the Clippers is that they have to be the stingiest team with one-on-one interviews. They literally told all the media last year that there was going to be none. And so when you don't have opportunities to interview guys, which the Clippers did not make them readily available at all, you report what's in front of you, right? And what's in front of you is Trez in the middle of a back-to-back talking about how the locker room has issues. And you write about that. And like, look, the locker room was not good last year. And if you think that it was, that's kind of insane because you're probably also psyched that Trez is off the team. So there's these two things that can't work, right? Like these competing theories of Jovan wrote these stories that weren't true. Oh, also, I'm so happy Trez is off the team because he was horrible for the locker room. Well, what do you think he's going to write stories about if he's not getting interviews? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's like, be happy for Jovan. Like, we had a great writer covering the Clips. It's not to say he can't come back, mm-hmm. but man, like, this wasn't a snake move. Like, this is just a business decision.
Yeah. Yeah, and also you bring up a great point, which is just that the Clippers as an organization, whether consciously or unconsciously, have made it one of the most difficult teams to cover in the NBA. They don't offer a lot of clarity. They certainly don't seem to be that open with the media. And I'm sure part of that is due to the chemistry and makeup of the team. But if this is your job, if this is your livelihood, and you can't get an advantage or an edge, I think you're going to move on to
absolutely
to greener pastures.
Yeah. A team that's like, hey, we would actually like it if you covered us, or hey, maybe, it's just one of those things where it didn't do a disservice to Clippers fans. He worked as hard as he could in the realm he was in for the Clippers. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird spot to be in, especially when you're kind of a younger guy working for such a big development. We wish Jovan all the luck. Have to have him on here maybe after the Clippers Lakers game, but I think that about wraps it up for Shavings, right? I think we're just trying to get prepped for this game now.
Like, yeah, definitely.
I gotta go get a bottle of something to get myself through this. Wednesday's episode, we're gonna have a recap of Clippers versus Lakers. Hopefully that's a dub. Hopefully it's a fat dub. Hopefully it's a slim L if it is happen to be one. A What You Say Wednesday poll that will definitely be centered around whatever happens with Clippers Lakers, and of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fine people recommend their friends listen to our fantastic Clippers podcast?
You and your friends can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, you could drop a rating or review. We'll definitely read it on air. So the season's honest, guys, it's time, it's go time.
Yeah,
whether you're ready or not.
Yeah, which I don't think I'm ready yet, but we will be. We hope everyone has a safe viewing party. I don't know, it feels like things are gonna get crazy once the NBA starts back up. But I have been positive Chuck Mockler,
and I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.